You can be seated. How many of you believe that something happened in the spirit already and there will be something happen in the natural soon? I guess I'm on. Am I on? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So, I think sometimes it happens without even meaning for it to happen, but we get so focused on the clock, without even really realizing it, we get so focused on the clock that we don't stop and do what maybe God would want us to do. I mean, it would have been really easy just to brush that word aside, okay, and not pray and just say, oh, well, I'll pray for him, you know, during my prayer time. But God wanted something to be done, amen? Come on, amen? In your life or somebody's life that you stood in proxy for, and he wanted it to happen now. Well, and you know why I think? Because he wants to receive the glory. Come on. It's only God. It's not your prayers. It's not how good you pray. You could stand up here and just say, hey, God, heal him. And probably the same thing would happen because God is merciful. Amen? Nothing wrong with praying flowery prayers, but, you know, it doesn't matter. Yes, it is definitely heart. That's what I love so much about men's Bible study. The men don't. They don't flower it at all. You know, it's, well, God, like, could you, thanks for, yeah, and, well, yeah, no kidding. And God hears that just as much, maybe even more, depending on where your heart's at, but he hears that just as much. And you don't have to be some theologian or some, you know, ancient person in the Lord to be able to pray for someone, or to be able to do anything like that. But again, I want to just bring it back to understand that I want more than anything, and I think it's the Lord has placed this in my heart, is that we would become or re-become, all right, a church that waits in the presence of the Lord. And if that takes till 3 o'clock, fine. It never has, okay? It never has. But I mean, to have that willingness inside yourself to be able to say, well, you know, yeah, well, I can wait a little while yet, you know. And I guess, you know, I know so many pastors say these kinds of things, and they're so out there, you know, can't you even give God an hour? Well, I hope you're giving God more than an hour anyway. But I think that, you know, we think church ends up being something that's from 10 to 11 or 11:15 if the Spirit's moving, right, you know, or if the pastor won't shut up. And I just pray that we would be more open in the days to come. You know, each one of us more open. It doesn't take a lot to stop the move of God. Are you with me? It doesn't take a lot. Okay. You know, I could preach on that. You know that? But I won't. We are in a teaching series about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it is entitled The Power That Still Prevails. How many of you believe that that power of the Holy Spirit still prevails? Okay. And the whole purpose of this series is to prove to the listener, and that happens to be you and whoever would be listening online, but it's to prove to the listener that the Holy Spirit still fills. Say, he still fills.
He still fills.
Do you believe that this morning? Yeah. Raise your hand if you believe that. Now, I want to hear it. He still fills. Say, he still fills.
He still fills.
Okay. The seeker today. He does. That third member of the Trinity is still at work in our lives to the exact same degree, okay, and in the exact same way that he worked in Bible days in those great men of old, okay? That in itself should make you want to give him praise this morning, amen? In fact, why don't you do that? If giving him praise means clapping your hands, then tell the Lord thank you. Thank you that I can read my Bible and I can know what's going to happen today because it happened yesterday. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now that you've all sat down and have gotten very comfortable, would you stand with me, please? And we are going to repeat our Bible declaration together, so just hold your Bibles up towards heaven. And repeat with me. And I'm going to go kind of slow today. So that I've been told I go way too fast. I must, because I can't even keep up. Okay. Here we go. Go ahead. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it, and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to begin by saying a couple things, okay? The Father is in heaven. Amen?
Amen?
Okay. Jesus is at his right hand, where he is always and ever making intercession for you and I. Am I right? And it's the Holy Spirit, and hear me now, it's the Holy Spirit who is present and active on the earth today in this season on God's calendar. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, amen. Please turn with you to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 is what we're going to read. So just your Bible should start to just fall open there, because I've read this for 4 weeks. My iPad falls open there. Okay. Are you there?
Yes.
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen? Amen. In this series so far, we've learned, I hope, that God poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit upon his people, which is his church, and it still is, that's you and I, okay, on the day of Pentecost. We just read that, okay? And it's the same, and I want to pound this in this morning. It is the same. Say, it is the same. It is the same amazing Holy Spirit who filled believers in Jesus' day that is still filling believers today. So I guess the questions that we need to be able to answer, the naysayers, are these. And what naysayers are people that speak against the Holy Spirit, saying that it isn't necessary, you know. And they can say what they want, but I'm going to believe the Bible.
Amen.
Hello. Amen. What is it that happens when he fills us? What do you and I actually receive from heaven that changes us from the way we were before we were filled to the way that we are after we have been filled? I mean, it would be good to be able to answer those questions to people who would honestly ask us, wouldn't it? It would. Gary Timmer, if you would come up and pray for the service, I would appreciate it. I see you're busy taking notes, so it's a good time to ask you.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for your word, God. We thank you that we can be here together today, Lord, to take your word in. Father, I pray that through your word you would change us today. God, that you would just instill it in our hearts, Lord, instill it in our minds. Father, that when we would leave here today, God, that we would take it with us and not just put it on the shelf. Father, as Pastor preaches today, God, I thank you that the Holy Spirit will give him the words to say.
Let it be, God. Let it be.
God, let us have ears to hear. Father, and let us be doers of your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Gary. Turn to John 14:26. That's John 14:26, and I'm just going to read this to you now. It says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, this is Jesus speaking, he shall teach you all things. How many things?
All.
And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The word comforter is the Greek word parakletos, okay? Which is a compound words of para and kletos. The word para means alongside. We can figure that out. And the word kletos means to beckon or to call. When these words are put together, they form the word parakletos, which means that the Holy Spirit has been called alongside of us to regularly speak into our lives. This word could also be translated as helper or advocate or advisor or counselor or, as I'm going to talk about in just a minute, a coach, okay? And that's the title of this message in this series, part four, Our Coach. So let's look at the word coach, okay? To be truthful, you know, there's all kinds of coaches that can come into our lives. Baseball players have baseball coaches who show them or show each player things like how to throw the ball, how to catch the ball, and how to hit the ball. There are voice coaches that tell people how to sing. I don't think they could do much with me. There are football coaches, right? And so on. But regardless of the coach or what kind of coach that a person has, in order for that coach to be any help to that person at all, is if that person listens. Say listen. And then they do what the coach tells them to do or asks them to do. Because if your coach gives you an instruction and you refuse to listen, I'm sorry here, but or you think you know better, hello, and then do what the coach, excuse me, and then you don't do what the coach tells you to do, you know, it's not going to matter that the coach is there. He can be right next to you. He can be telling you exactly what to do. But all of a sudden, their expertise is of no benefit at all because of your lack of cooperation with the coach. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to be in cooperation with the coach. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Likewise, the Holy Spirit has been sent to us to be our, quote, life coach, okay? I know there's life coaches in this world today, but he's the real life coach. God the Father has called him to walk alongside each and every one of us to serve as our coach, who is instructing us in all things, including how to pray, how to witness and share the good news, as well as what to say and what not to say in any conversation. How many of you wish you could do conversations over that you have had in the past?
Amen.
Amen. Mine was last week. I won't tell you about that, okay? Okay, so don't be thinking I might. It's hard to say. But in order for the Holy Spirit's superior wisdom to be of any benefit to us at all, we have to listen to him, and we have to willingly follow his directives and his, again, expertise, just like we would a coach. Are you with me? Okay. I'm going to share with you eight different things this morning that the Holy Spirit does for you and I when he enters into us. Now, my disclaimer for this morning is, it's not that I don't know how to count, but I'm sure I'm only going to get through four of them, okay? First of all, say first of all. You know, I'd like you to help me preach this, okay? There's something about me hearing your voice, or voices, that inspires me, okay? Number one, the Holy Spirit teaches us. What does he do? In addition to being our coach, who coaches and advises us in all things, according to John 14:26, that verse also identifies and credits the Holy Spirit with being our teacher, okay? Let me read the scripture again. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The word teach in this verse is the Greek word didasko, okay, which simply means to teach, right? Again, and please just hear me in this, for a person to be taught, they have to be submitted to the authority of the teacher, amen? To see themselves as an apprentice or a submitted learner, if you will, who is willing to hear and obey whatever his master is telling him to do. The Holy Spirit will teach you everything, according to what we just read. He will teach you everything, say everything, that you need to know when you need to know it. But in order for his teaching to be beneficial to you, you have to have a submitted heart that's willing to do whatever he tells you to do. That only makes sense, doesn't it? You know, I have found out that when the Lord tells me to do something, I kind of seem to have a hard time hearing his voice until I do it. That's why what Serena said is so important. Immediate obedience is the way to go, you know? Because if the Lord has given you an assignment, so many times you have to complete that one before he gives you another one. Are you with me? So immediate obedience is so important. Let me give you an example, okay? Have you ever thought that you heard the Lord's voice, but it was something difficult to do, or maybe an expensive thing that he was asking you to do? Like something that was way outside your comfort zone, or something like telling you to give an amount of money in the offering that you weren't prepared to give. This happened to me and Serena a number of years ago, and I don't remember. I haven't always been a Jeep man. I was a Camaro man, okay? I've had many Camaros in my life, all right? And I had the most beautiful 1979 Camaro that only had 40,000 miles on it, and this was probably in 88 or 89 that this happened. And the Lord said to me and to Serena, there was somebody talking about needing money for the ministry, and oh God, oh God, oh God, I said to myself, because I'm a good Dutchman, well, I just don't have any money to give. And the Lord says, you have your Camaro. What? You have your Camaro. You can give X amount of money if you sell your Camaro. Well, I was just young and stupid enough, you know, to say okay, right? So I sold that Camaro for a measly $4,000. I gave it to the church. And it was then that I understood that God really, really, really wants to bless us, okay? He really wants to bless us. But if you aren't obedient to that voice, if you aren't obedient to the thing that he asks you to do and what the Spirit has told you to do, there's no receiving a benefit or a blessing. Do you understand that? We can talk about tithing, talk about giving, talk about being a giving person all we want. But the truth is, unless we are that giving person, unless we are that tither, unless we are that, I guess I'd just say giver, you know, we're not going to receive the benefit or blessing. We need to be submitted and committed to the coaching and teaching of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm telling you one time, right, that I was obedient. I'm not telling you I was obedient every time, okay? But that was one time when I was obedient. I still miss that car. I saw it a number of years later in Whitehall parked for sale. Oh, I'm going, man, I'm going to buy this, you know. But somebody had messed up the inside of it, and you don't care. Anyway, he teaches us, okay? He teaches us. But another thing that the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit reminds us. You know, we have talked so much about how important it is to be in remembrance of what God has done for you. When you start thinking that, oh, God doesn't do anything for me, then think back. Think back on what he's done from the very beginning when you accepted him. I can say things like, he saved my marriage. He saved my family. Amen? Glory to God. He delivered me from X, you know, all kinds of things. And when I remember those things, and when the Holy Spirit brings those to mind, there's something about that that makes me say, you know what, God, I'm grateful for you. I am so grateful for you. Are you with me? Anyway, the Holy Spirit reminds us. Jesus also said in John 14:26 that the Holy Spirit will, what? Bring all things to your remembrance. The phrase, all things, is a translation from the Greek word panta, okay, which means all things. In fact, it means more than that. It means every small little itty-bitty detail. It means everything, okay? And that means when the Holy Spirit reveals something to us, he doesn't leave anything. Say, he doesn't leave anything. He doesn't leave anything out. Okay? He tells us just what we need to know. So one of the jobs among so many others of the Holy Spirit as he walks alongside you in your life as your coach is to bring every single little detail that you need to be aware of back to your remembrance. It is vital that you remember what God has done for you. We can go through dry spells that are terrible, man. And we somehow, after not hearing from the Lord for a week or 2 weeks ago, oh, God doesn't ever speak to me. Remember. It's in those times that you have to remember because it strengthens you. Are you with me? He brings them back to your remembrance. The Greek word for remembrance is, are you ready for this one? Hupomnesko, okay? I can't say it. Hupomnesko, okay? You don't care. And it means to put alongside someone in order to remind them or to prompt them to remember, okay? Whatever Jesus speaks to our spirit personally, how many of you have had that happen? He speaks to you. Or reveals to us in his word, the Holy Spirit will bring that back to your remembrance when you need it. But there's one thing that we have to remember. There's one thing that we have to acknowledge. The Holy Spirit can't bring back to remembrance something that isn't in your mind already. Hello? Come on. We have to read it in his word first, and then he will bring it back to our remembrance. We have to experience it first, and then he will bring it back to our remembrance. To sit there and to say, well, he doesn't do that for me, well, then maybe you need to start reading a little more, okay? Maybe you need to start throwing yourself into a little more. If you have never read it, now please hear me. The Holy Spirit can't bring it back to you because it's new to you, okay? You can't remember something new, right? It's new to you. You can't bring something back if it's never been there in the first place. Do you understand that? Okay. Or we have to hear God speak in prayer. Again, and it always lines up with the word. He never asks you to do something that's outside of his word, okay? I mean, that's a good gauge. Okay, it's a proper gauge. But in order for the Holy Spirit to bring back to mind what God has told you, we have to hear it in the first place. How do we hear God? We have to know his voice. How do we know his voice? We have to know him. How do we get to know him? The Bible gets us to the place where we begin to know him. The Word of God takes us from where we are to where we need to be. I think sometimes, I know you know this, I'm a big word guy, you know, but just like the preaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit may not be what you call popular nowadays because it doesn't keep people comfortable in their seats. It tells them that there's something more, and gosh, you know, I didn't come to church for that. I came to church to be encouraged. I came to church to feel good when I walk out. Well, I hope you do feel good because there's something about the Holy Spirit. He just kind of convinces you. He never condemns you. Come on. But you know, the thing is, our flesh will fight that conviction, if you will. Our flesh will fight that, and we'll push against it with everything we have. That was free, I guess. Anyway. But we have to hear it. We have to hear it to have it brought back to remembrance, all right? You can't be a person who says, I don't like reading, so I don't read the Bible. Well, you can say that if you want, but please, 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 at least listen to it on tape or on CD or on stream then, okay? Do something to get that word inside of you so that the Holy Spirit can work with you. So the Holy Spirit can work with you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Another different yet really good example of the supernatural recall of the Holy Spirit is seen in the writing of the four Gospels, or really the whole Bible. I don't think any of Jesus' disciples kept a diary, okay, of their daily activities while they were with the Lord. We don't see that. That's not written anywhere. We don't see, Matthew saying in Matthew, well, I was writing it down so I could write this later. But he did write it later. So how did they remember everything? How did they remember everything that was said and done when they wrote each gospel account separate from each other? Separate from each other. How were they able to keep it going in one direction? It was through nothing else than the inspiration and the power of remembrance. Come on, people. The power of remembrance that the Holy Spirit brings with him when he fills us. I don't know about you, but I want that. Amen? I want that. What happened was the Holy Spirit came alongside them and reminded them of Jesus' words and his deeds. And then they wrote it down so you and I could know what? Jesus. He prompted them to remember every one of those events in detail. Is every single thing that's written in Matthew written in Mark? No. But neither, you know, it's that way with all four of the Gospels. But together, they paint a picture. And the things that are said in there that are the same, they're the same. Not kind of the same, they're the same. Okay? But he prompted everyone to remember every one of those details. The same, now hear me, please. And I this isn't just preaching, okay? This is teaching. This is telling you and letting you know that the same power of remembrance is given to you and I. Come on. The same power of remembrance is given to you and I. It is the same Holy Spirit, not a lesser Holy Spirit, not a Holy Spirit that just doesn't do as much. He just wanted to sit up in heaven. It's the same Holy Spirit that's here on the earth right now in God's calendar to show us who Jesus is. Amen. Amen. If you trust the Holy Spirit, he will remind you of scriptures. He'll remind you of prophetic words. In words of encouragement that have been spoken to you. Please understand something about prophetic words. When someone comes up to you and gives you a prophetic word and tells you something, it better confirm something in your spirit or throw it out. Amen. One of the worst things that Christians do is like, you know, someone will come up to you and they'll tell you this far off the wall thing, and nothing could be farther from the truth, but the Christian goes, oh yes. Oh, yes. I've had lots of times when that happened. And at first it was, oh, yes. But eventually I was going, you know, I don't see that. God's not speaking that to me. You know, God gives words to other people to give to you because you're not listening, okay? If you were listening, you would hear it from God himself, all right? Why does God tell people other things? Simply, you're not listening. You might not be listening because you're too busy, maybe because you don't know how to listen, but whatever it is, it's not going to originate with a single person to try to speak something into your spirit to make it happen. God's got to already be dealing with you on that particular subject. Are you with me? I hope so. But the Holy Spirit will supernaturally remind you of scriptures, past events even, people, and even errands that you might need to run, you know. And you think, you know, well, why would the Holy Spirit be concerned with that? You know what? I'm just grateful, okay? Because he is. He is. All you need to do is ask him and trust him to bring those things to your remembrance, and he will, personally, okay? And I'm speaking for Serena, too. I can do that, right? Maybe, okay. See you next week, you know. Personally, I really can't tell you how many times I've lost something, okay? Something like you've lost your keys, you know? How can you lose your keys? I've lost my phone when it was in my hand. You know, I got to get my phone. I got to get out of here, you know? Oh, yeah, right. Anyway. But I can't tell you the amount of times that I've lost things like keys or important papers or whatever. And I think to say, Holy Spirit, you know where this thing is. You know where it is. I don't. Please show me. And sure enough, I will find it. Maybe not right away, but he will reveal it and remind me where Serena put it. I put it. See, she finally admitted it. It's always her fault. I'm just kidding. He will remind us of what has been put in us. When you lay those keys down, it's not that you're not there, but you forget, okay? He will, I hope you get the idea. Number three, and now you're going, thank God he's only gonna do four, right? The Holy Spirit testifies to us, and the Holy Spirit testifies through us. This is one of his assignments in his existence that he gives to us when he fills us. In John 15:26, Jesus said this, "But when the Helper comes," talking of the Holy Spirit, "but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, what? He will testify of me." He will testify. He's going to tell you about Jesus, okay? When the Holy Spirit comes powerfully into your life, one of the first things that he does, one of the initial things that he does, is he immediately begins to talk about Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. I think that's great that he talks about Jesus. I am so glad that he talks about Jesus. I have found out more since I've been saved and goes on daily what Jesus does for me. And it isn't always about what he can do for me, but in some cases it is, okay? I'd be a liar if I told you something different. If you have ever said, how many of you have said this before? I just want to know Jesus more. I just want to know Jesus more. Then this is the avenue that you got to take, okay? This is the avenue. The Holy Spirit will testify of him. And it becomes most evident when you sit down to read and study the scriptures. Since the Holy Spirit is the author of 2 Peter 1:20-21, which says this, it says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were," what? "Moved by the Holy Spirit." Wow. They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, or moved by the Holy Spirit. He knows absolutely everything there is to know about every verse in Scripture and how they point you and I to Jesus, whether you're reading the Old Testament or you're reading the New Testament. Don't tell me that the Old Testament has passed away and it's not worth reading. Oh, it is. It is. The Old Testament talks more about Jesus than you can imagine if you will look for it.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Amen. And the Holy Spirit will do that. He'll bring that to you. If you would just simply invite him to reveal the Scripture's meaning every time you open the Bible. Okay? And we've talked about this before in a message that was entitled Five Things to Do When You're Reading the Bible. And one of those five things, in fact, I made bookmarks like that. They've helped me. I don't know if any of you have them. But, you know, to read those five things that I should do before I read. One of the things that we need to do is to always pray before we read, okay? And ask the Holy Spirit to show you something in the Word that day that you need to see. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm just needy. But I need to see something in the Word that every time it can possibly be shown to me to help me through the day. My last week was horrible. Serena's last week and a half ago was doubly horrible. And it would have been impossible to navigate unless we would have had, if we wouldn't have had the Holy Spirit to take us through that. Amen? I need to hear from God. And I don't know, you can say you don't need to hear from God, you know, you've heard from him already. But you know what? God will speak to you. He will speak to you. When you ask him, or you invite him, if you will, he will testify of who Jesus is, and your benefit is you will know him more. I mean, that's awesome. When you think, all I've got to do is sit down, open my Bible, say, hey, please show me something. Or like the guys would say, hey, I got to see something, you know? And he does it. I don't think I don't think unless I'm in this burning through the Bible mood that I've got to get through the scripture so I can go on and do something else. You know, I don't think there's ever been a time when I haven't taken my time to read the scripture and I've been given something. Is it really important every time? It doesn't always seem like it, but you know what? That's where a lot of my preaching comes from, all right? Because God just kind of, I don't want to use the word download, but downloads these little bits in. And I wonder why, and then I find out why. Because the Holy Spirit does what? Brings it back to remembrance. And the more you know about Jesus, wow, the more you know about Jesus and the more you are filled with the Spirit, the more you will want to be confident and bold. Excuse me, I didn't say that right. The more you will want to be confident and bold enough to testify to other people. All right? Listen to this a minute. In Acts chapter 2, the 120 people that were gathered in the upper room, whether that was in an upper room or whether that was really the temple, go home and figure that out, okay? But when they were gathered in what we, you know, perceive as the upper room, on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Spirit. There's no doubt about that. Am I right? And as a result, they spoke in tongues. Am I right? And they boldly proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, all right? And not one of them, say not one of them. No, you got to say it like you mean it. Not one of them felt unqualified to talk about Jesus. I can't witness to this person. I don't know enough. Then get yourself filled. Hello? Get yourself filled with the Holy Spirit. Take advantage, if you will, of what God has given you. Don't sit there and fall into the easy believism that, oh, done away with, passed away, it's gone, ha. Huh? But not one of them. I didn't see anybody say, you know, I hear them speak in my own language, except that one person's kind of scared. They were bold, man. They were bold. And as a result, and this is amazing, you know, as a result of that happening, 3,000 people. Come on. How many of you know we would be full? 3,000 people were added to their number that day alone. And that's in Acts 2:41. Acts 4:13, and let me read that to you, says this. Now when they saw, talking about the Pharisees, Sadducees, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. I love this scripture. And they realized, or I think the King James says, and they took note that they had been with Jesus. Wow. They took note that they had been to Jerusalem University. No. They took note that they must have done a lot of reading. No, they just took note that they must have been with Jesus. I mean, that's the kind of testimony I want. In this verse, Peter and John were just brought before the Sanhedrin because of their bold proclamation of Jesus. Once again, they weren't afraid to talk about him. And the elders and the teachers of the law were astonished at their boldness. They couldn't figure it out. And they took note. Okay, they took note. These two unlearned, ordinary men, the only qualifying factor that they have in their entire life is that they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. I would to God that the people could say that about me or about you, any one of you, that you know, I don't know where they got their learning, but there's one thing I know for sure. That person, that guy, that lady, they have been with Jesus. Amen? Amen. 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 And again, I can't speak for you. But I would rather have the testimony that I just mentioned to you than anything else. That the only explanation for my boldness, not my timidness, but my boldness and accuracy in sharing the gospel was that I had spent time in the presence of the Lord. That makes all the difference, people. That makes all the difference when you preach. That makes all the difference when you lead worship. You can do all those things. You know, he can sing, Pastor Josh can sing songs and they can mean nothing coming out of his mouth. I can put together a whole lot of words, you know what I mean? But you know what? if we have been with Jesus, come on, if we have been with Jesus, you're going to be able to tell. Amen. Amen. And now this is the last one, okay? The Holy Spirit, number four, the Holy Spirit convicts us, all right? He convicts us. When we come to John 16, 18, we discover even more changes that the Holy Spirit will make in our lives. Jesus said this in John 16, 8, okay? And when he has come, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he said, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Notice the word convict or reprove, depending on what version that you're reading. It's the Greek word elegcheko, which means to expose, to convict, or to cross-examine for the purpose of getting a conviction, as in convicting a lawbreaker in a court of law. You see, when a sinner hears the word of God, okay, and by that I mean someone who doesn't know Jesus, okay? Because you know what? We all sin. Hello. Come on. We all sin. Hello. It's just that I don't want that sin to stay in my life. And when the Holy Spirit shows me that sin, I'm going to get it out of my life. Amen? I'm going to get it out of my life. Amen? Amen. Okay. When a sinner hears the word of God, the word is so razor sharp, that it penetrates their soul, okay, as if they have been cross-examined on a witness stand. Remember Hebrews 4:12, and it says this. I'll read 12 and 13. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13. And there is no creature. There's what? Is there anybody? Oh, come on. Is there anybody? No, there's nobody. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, believer or unbeliever, right? But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Does that ever scare you? Like there's this verse in the Bible that says that we have to give an account of every idle word that we speak. Oh my, oh my. Every idle word that we speak. That means every unassigned word, every unemployed word. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever done that? You said something about somebody, you shouldn't have said it, you didn't know them, and judgmentally you said it, and on and on. Anyway, we'll get back to this. Sinners, I'm going to try to finish this sentence this time. Sinners are confronted with the reality of their sin. Okay, that's what happened to me. In the depth of their sin. Man, that's what happened to me. And there is no denying its existence in your life. There's no excuse. There's no reason good enough. Okay? It's just in your life. It doesn't have to be, and it shouldn't be. And so what the Holy Spirit does is he says, get it out. Yes. Get it out. This shows us the vital This shows us the vital importance of partnering with the Holy Spirit when you share the message of Christ. Now just stay with me. And without the work of the Holy Spirit testifying through us, we can speak to a sinner about their sin and they won't be convicted. You see, and this is something I think we forget. If we're in touch with the Lord, if we're in tune, then when we witness to somebody, when God says to witness to that person, that person's heart's already been prepared and is just waiting for the right word. And the Holy Spirit gives you exactly, positively, without a shadow of a doubt, exactly what you need to speak. We already learned that, right? Right. Okay. But they won't be convicted if the Holy Spirit isn't present. I mean, don't ever think that it's your wisdom or your prowess when someone gets saved. You said the right thing. You know, that person just got saved because I told them about Jesus. It is always and ever going to be the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that illuminates truth that reveals somebody's sin. Amen? You are gonna tread water, spin in place, if you think it's you, okay? Because you can't do it. Hear me. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit being present, because it won't bear any fruit. Are you with me? This is why Jesus said in John 6:44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict sinners of their lost condition and show them their need for a Savior. Now, it's not only sinners that get convicted. Come on. It's you and I that can be convicted by the Holy Spirit. I mean, you would think as believers we would have it all together, right? Right? Wrong. Wrong. That's why I'm so happy that it's His blood. Amen. Come on. I'm so happy that it isn't just a decision I made. Okay? It's the grace and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that saves me. His sacrifice at Calvary that saves me. It's not anything that I have done. It's not according to works of righteousness that I have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Okay. We are a work in progress. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Boy, you'd really think so if I told you what happened last week. No, I won't. I won't tell them. Okay. No. We're a work in progress, and that's why we daily read the Word of God. And that's why we daily have a devotional life to renew us, okay? And so that the Holy Spirit can convict us, all right, of the sin that still remains in our life, sometimes that we can even be unaware of.
Yes.
I have read the Bible before and be reading along, and all of a sudden I'll read a scripture and I'll stop. And I know that's the Holy Spirit, you know. You'll stop and you'll read this, maybe what you've thought was some benign scripture every other time, and you read it and it cuts you right to the heart. Right to the heart. And you realize what you've been doing. What, you know, why hasn't my relationship been right and good? I was doing that, wasn't I? So the Holy Spirit can convict us of the sin that remains in our life. I don't know if this happens to you, but there surely are times that I don't see the sin in my own life, all right? The truth is, we have blind spots. Amen? Come on, you're going to have to repeat that with me. I have blind spots. Go ahead. I have blind spots. The Holy Spirit, and He can use anything, but so many times the Holy Spirit will speak to me and probably you through the Word, and you know what? It isn't always fun. I mean, I can get some things out of the Word, man, and just, wow, bang, that's great, man, I can't wait to share that. And I'll get other things out of the Word that speak to my heart, and I go, oops, this isn't so fun. This isn't so comfortable. This isn't so easy. Again, I'll be reading along, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will cause me to stop at a verse and read it again. Because He's bringing to my attention something that has gotten into my life. It could be huge. It could. It could be small. But the truth remains, you know, it's in your life, and God wants it dealt with, and He wants it put away. Okay? It could be you would receive this conviction through messages preached out of the Word of God. Hopefully that's the only kind of messages you listen to, okay? But God can use a pastor, all right, I hope. Anyway, that's my cry, okay? God can use a pastor to preach a word that would convict you. I want you to hear an example of what I'm talking about. Gary, would you come? And then we're going to share in communion.
So I know there's many of you that I really don't know, and you don't know me, and others have heard some of my testimony. Some of you have heard some messages that I've preached, and so to some of you this is going to be brand new. To some others maybe not, but I don't know if I ever really talked about the root of where it all started. But I will have been born-again Christian, 30 years in March. And when I went to church and when I finally got saved, I went to church pretty much my whole life, but when I finally got saved, at the altar call, the pastor said, "Here's if you really want this to stick, you need to pray every day, you need to read your Bible, and you need to come to a or go to a Bible-believing church." And he said, "It doesn't have to be this church, but it you should find a church that's a Bible-believing church." I thought, we walked out that day, and I told April on the way home, "We need to do this. Let's go back, start at that church, and then we'll figure it out from there. We'll see. Maybe we'll go to some other churches." And we never went to another church until we came here. And I say too, I'm on my 26th year of an 18-month commitment to be here. But and I could probably talk. I know I could talk for hours, but in just in a few minutes, my mother was a very strong Christian. In my house, probably 20 hours a day was Christian TV and you know, evangelist and minister after minister. And I never heard the good messages. All I heard was, "Well, we're not going to preach today because I believe there's 1,000 people that can give $100 each," right? So when I got saved, there was a few conditions that I put on God and being saved, and that was, I'm not going to quit drinking, I'm not going to quit smoking, and the church is not going to get any of my money. Okay?
Sound familiar?
It will be 30 years that I haven't drank, 30 years that I haven't smoked. That was pretty easy. It took a really good message on giving, and particularly tithing, for me to start giving and tithing. And it was introduced to me in a way that I'd never heard it before. And that was, I mean, I know Pastor said, just take a couple minutes, so that's
no,
hard. That's hard too. But the 12 tribes of Israel, when they started tithing, and it would be much easier with a whiteboard, but when the 12 tribes of Israel started to tithe and tithe to the church, the Levites to take care of the church, the Levites ended up with 12 tenths. So the church actually ended up with more than the rest of them. That was one thing. The other one was that, so tithing, people, a great argument, people say, tithing's really not talked about in the New Testament, it's Old Testament, Gary. But through research found that tithing didn't need to be talked about in the New Testament because it was so widely accepted in the church.
Yeah.
Yes.
The other one was when people got saved, in the New Testament, they combined all of their possessions as everyone had, and nobody went without. So Pastor Aiken, he says, you know, 10%'s not a bad deal if you consider that, you know, that when you do read about it in the New Testament, it was that everybody gave everything as they had, right? So I thought, well, that makes sense too. And then another one was, you know, God owns everything anyways, right? Can we all agree? If it wasn't for God, there would be nothing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's our creator. He's the great I am. And with tithing, God allows us to keep 90%. He owns it anyways. It's his anyways. Um, So, and it was through those messages, and God in his sense of humor, I like to say this too, God in his sense of humor, I'm the treasurer for this church. So God has a sense of humor where that's concerned. My sacrifice at that time, when we walked away, saying, and I walked away telling April, okay, we need to tithe. Did you hear the message? We need to tithe. Mine was a 1990 Ford F-250 four-wheel drive with a V8 5-speed, and it was nice. But you know what? The payments for that truck was almost identical to our tithe, what our tithe would be. And God has restored that over and over and over and over, and more and more and more. And the testimonies that we have about finances are only God could do it. Amen. In our finances. Through my workplace, I'm on my 42nd year at the same place. My latest testimony is that, it's God, and I say it with humility. Our tithe, our giving this past year equaled my annual income when we started tithing.
Thank you, Gary. You know, we want the blessing. Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. We want the blessing, right? We want the benefit, right? But there's something about obedience, right? I like the way you said that, Gary, about, you know, it wasn't talked about because it was so widely accepted.
Exactly.
You know, this is what you did. The other excuse, and I'll stop after this, sort of. The other excuse is, well, God loves a cheerful giver and I can't give cheerfully. Well then, that's not tithing. That's giving. How many of you know there is a difference between tithing, which is set, and giving, which is being obedient? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. Thank you very, very much. Very, very much. I think it's so important that we understand the many, many, many things. I'm going to touch on just four more things, okay, next week. Four more things that the Holy Spirit does when he fills us. All right? I didn't understand tithing either, but I don't begrudge it today. Right? You got to understand, I'm Dutch, okay? I'm Pentecostal and I'm Dutch, all right? But it's not a choice.
No.
It's not a, and I don't say that in a bad way. If you, what's the guy's name? Ramsey, Dave Ramsey. You can't take Dave Ramsey without finding out where tithing fits anyway. The Holy Spirit is vitally important in our lives. Don't listen to the naysayers that say, oh, that was the other dispensation. You know, that isn't happening now. But it is, all right? It is. And if God has got something for me and for you like that, I want that. How about you? Amen. I want that. And I think that we should be seeking that. And if we aren't at the place that we could be, then we should be seeking it even more. Again, one of the reasons for this series is that at the end, we'll pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I want to, are you ready? I want to convince you, okay? I want to convince you by the Word of God that it's not done away with. All right? All right. We're going to take communion this morning, celebrate communion. And gentlemen, if you would please begin to pass out the elements.